the visiting and things that go on in here won't disturb that meeting. But a very important meeting, so please stay around for that. Second thing that I wanted to do is I want to thank those who are helping with the day camp, who have already helped with it, who are going to be helping with it this week. I want to thank you very, very much. I'm not sure whether I'll see you as much this week as I'd like to see you, and some of that will come out in the next few minutes. But I thank you very, very much. 4 days. 4 days to impact children's lives forever. That's what you're engaged in. That's what you're doing. See, you have a promise from God. In Isaiah chapter 55, verse number 11, I think it is, God said, "My word will never return to me void." The word which came out of my mouth. You're going to present the word of God to little children over a 4-day period, and you've got a promise that it's going to return to God having done and accomplished exactly what He intended for it to accomplish. What greater work? What greater work could you be involved in? What greater thing could you involve yourself in over the next 4 days? It's hard work. It is. You'll be exhausted, but it'll be worth it. It'll be worth it. And I thank you for it. All of you who've helped out in any way, I thank you for it. Now, I've known this day was coming for a while, and I'm going to announce it to you, and then that kind of leads into the thoughts for this morning from 2 Timothy chapter 4. This announcement is not in the bulletin, but it's being made in a lot of places this morning. Brother Carol Seitz, the cancer, his cancer has spread, and I'm going to announce it just like he told me to say it, okay? It's spread now into his lungs, into one of his lungs, and there's a spot on his liver. Through visiting with his doctors, who have done a great job of caring for him since this first was detected 8 years ago. Through visiting with his doctors, the doctor said, "Carol, basically, all I can do for you is some chemotherapy." And Carol said, "Are you talking about extending life a year?" And he said, "No, we're talking months." That would mean a port and just extending your life for a couple of months. Carol has chosen not to do that. He's chosen quality of life over quantity of life. And we're talking weeks now. We're talking weeks. 8 weeks to 24 weeks. 8 weeks being maybe pretty good. 24 weeks it being rough at the end of that 24 weeks. You know what I'm talking about. Thomas and I are trying real hard to get him to come here one more time while he's still able. He's preaching today, 2 times at Higdon. He'll continue to preach for as long as he's able. But we've asked him to come here one more time while he's able. He first said, "I can't do it. You know, I got responsibilities at Higdon. I'm going to do that." We've offered to send someone there. Some of us go there so that you can encourage him and thank him. And hopefully that'll happen over the next couple of weeks, but we're just not sure about that. But I'm telling you this because I'm asking you, please remember Carol, remember Sarah, remember the kids, remember the grandkids, but remember the Higdon Church and that Higdon community. Because this is a man who is a fixture in that community. He's been a preacher of the gospel in that part for such a long time. Speaks over radio on a daily basis. Everyone there in that community appreciates him. And it's going to be a lick to the congregation there. It's going to be real tough on the community there. So remember them, please. I'm going today. They have an afternoon service, and I'm going to leave here, and just as soon as we finish our services, and I'm going to be at Higdon this afternoon. Not to preach, I just want to hear my preacher one more time. And so remember them, okay? Remember them in your prayers. The Apostle Paul in 2 Timothy chapter 4, beginning in verse number 6, said, "For now I am ready to be offered. The time of my departure is at hand." And it was. It was. Like carols, time of departure is at hand. The Apostle Paul's time was at hand. At any moment, as Paul penned this, at any moment as he sat in a Roman cell, the door could have been thrown open. A Roman soldier could have said, "Step outside." And at any moment, he would have been, his life would have been ended. And eventually was. It was. By beheading. He was ready, though. "I'm now ready to be offered," he said. "I'm ready to be offered." How can a man say that? As Carol and I have visited and talked over the last several days, you know, "I'm ready. I'm ready." Oh, he said, I'd like to stay on 9 or 10 more years for the sake of my wife. But I'm ready. But I'm ready. Again, that reminded me of the Apostle Paul in Philippians chapter 1, where he said, "I'm in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with the Lord. But for me to remain in the flesh is better for you." He's thinking of others. Thinking of others. Are you ready? Are you ready? Well, you say, "Well, I've not received that kind of news." Listen, you've received that kind of news. You just haven't stopped to think about it. No one gets out of this world alive. I'm going to say that to you again. No one gets out of this world alive. You're going to die. I'm going to die. When? It could be today. It could be, couldn't it? No one wants to think like that. But the truth is, that's the way we live. It could be today. Could you say, as the Apostle Paul, "I'm now ready. I'm now ready"? Could you say that? Do you know that there's not a reason you couldn't? There's not any reason for any one of us, for any one of us not to be able to say, "I'm ready. I'm ready." The Apostle Paul said, "I'm ready to be offered. Now the time of my departure, it's at hand." Listen to him. He says, "I have fought the good fight. I've finished my course." He said, "I have kept the faith." Now notice a little four-letter word in there that makes all the difference in the world. He said, "I have." I have fought the good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. That little word is what makes all of the difference. You know, we'll never be able to say, "I'm ready. I'm ready," if we can't say, "I have." If we're constantly saying, you know, I should, then you're not ready. Then I'm not ready. I ought to. If that's what you got to say, "I ought to. I know I ought to, David. I know I ought to." Then you're not saying, "I'm ready." I can. I can. That's right, you can. But as long as you're saying you can instead of you saying, or saying, "I have. I have." Then you cannot say you're ready. Are you ready? Are you ready? Well, what does it take to be able to say, "I have fought the good fight"? Well, you had to You had to fight, right? I finished my course. Well, what does that mean? I thought you had to run the race. I've kept the faith. What does that mean? I've lived it. I have. That's the reason Paul could say he was ready. Are you ready? Was it take to be ready? Hey, no one's ready who hasn't obeyed the gospel. No one is ready. No one can say, I'm ready, if they haven't obeyed the gospel. The Apostle Paul made it crystal clear in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, beginning in verse number 8, when he said, you who are troubled, rest with us. For the Lord Jesus Christ shall be revealed from heaven in a flaming fire, and he'll take vengeance on those that know not God and have obeyed not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Unless you've obeyed the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, you can expect punishment. You're not ready. You can't say, as the Apostle Paul said, I'm ready. Have you obeyed the gospel? Well, I'm going to. Wonderful. Today. Do it today. But I'm telling you, until you do, you're not ready. Well, I ought to. That's right, you ought to. But until you have, you're not ready. I should. That's right, you should. But until you've obeyed the gospel, you're not ready. You're not ready. The gospel, you've become a child of God. Why? Because you believe? Because you believe, you have a heart that is just filled with that faith that wants to change and to live for Him. It's called repentance in the Bible. No longer do you live for yourself. You live for Him. Some of us who have gone through those things that make one a Christian, have never realized that when we became a Christian, it was based on a heart that was full of faith that caused us to say, I'm not going to live for me anymore. I'm going to live for Him. He's going to be first. And some of us have never truly realized that God never accepts second. Never. No excuses, never accept seconds. He's going to be first, or He's going to be out of the picture. Out of the picture. But you come with a heart full of faith, with a mind set on repentance. I'm going to live for Him from now on. I'm going to live for Him. What if you'd only had 8 weeks? And you knew it. You only had 8 weeks to live. What'd be the most important thing? The most important thing to you. I guarantee it wouldn't be family. Beverly and I talked about this last night. I think I'd just ask my family to move in with me. Yeah. Yeah. That might be all right. That might be right. But you know what? We'd probably do that, but that wouldn't be the most important thing. The most important thing is, did I obey the gospel? Because until I obey the gospel, I'm not ready. With a heart full of faith, a mind set on repentance, I obey the gospel and being baptized. That's for the remission of my sins, for the forgiveness of my sins. But that puts me into Christ. Galatians 3:27. I now wear Him. Have you obeyed the gospel? Are you ready? Because if you haven't obeyed the gospel, you can't say, I have. You're not saying that. You're probably saying, I ought to, I should, I could. I will. I will someday. You need to be able to say, I have. I have. I fought that good fight. Hey, you've obeyed the gospel. You say, well, you're not talking to me, David. Well, I've obeyed the gospel. I've been a Christian for quite a long time, okay? Have you lived faithful to the Lord? Can he count on you? Or does he count on you when it's convenient to you? When there's not too much else going on in your life? Because if that's your attitude, you can't say, I fought the good fight. Well, you know, I threw a punch once in a while. I threw a punch once in a while. He said, fight. Fight. I've only had boxing gloves on one time in my life. See, I grew up back in the time where if you got in a little scuffle at lunch break at BB High School, it didn't make a whole, it didn't take a whole lot for them to get you in the gym, a circle of boys, and they'd put boxing gloves on you. And Mary Morrison will know who liked to beat me to a pulp. I've only had them on one time. Yeah, those things are heavy. Those things are heavy. And I thought, I'll just punch him out. Little did I know, this guy had the week before been crowned Golden Gloves champ of the state of Arkansas. And he put me in there with him. Now, folks, y'all know me. I'm innocent. Yeah, right. They put me in there. The coach, after just about 15 seconds, the coach stops it. And he says, hey, Riley, you might want to tuck in, keep the gloves up, try not to let him kill you. Don't worry about punching him. Try not to let him kill you. You know what? Those gloves are heavy. Every time that hand would fall, pow, he'd punch me. Every time. I think about the Apostle Paul, 1 Corinthians chapter 9. He said, I keep under my body. I tuck. I keep under my body that I might always bring it, my body, under subjection. Lest at any time when I preach to others, I myself should be a castaway. Have you tucked? Have you lived faithful? Have you stayed in the ring? Well, yeah. Or have you tapped at the devil once in a while? Have you been in the fight? But folks, if you've not lived faithful to him, you can't say I have, and you're not ready. You're not ready. You can't say as the Apostle Paul did, I'm ready. I'm ready. What's engaged in being faithful to him? Have you studied his word? Have you? Folks, in case no one else ever says this to you, let this one preacher on his watch with you be crystal clear to you. There is no exception. There is no way you're going to get to heaven without knowing God's word. Write it down. Take it to the bank. It's not going to happen. Study, Paul says, 2 Timothy 2:15, didn't he? Study to show thyself approved unto God. Now, if you're not approved unto God, what are you? What are you? If you're not approved, you are disapproved, right? And how did you become approved? Study. Study to show thyself approved unto God. A workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Have you studied his word? Have you grown? Have you grown in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ? 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. Has that been your daily endeavor to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ? Because if it's not, you're not ready. You're not ready. Are you ready? Have you used the talents and abilities that God gave you? That He blessed you with? And have you used them to His service instead of your gain? We'll use them for our gain, use them for our gain, and thank God for them. But ask us to use the talent God gave us for His cause, for His service. And, oh, well, I'm not sure I can do that. Have you used the talents and ability God gave you? Or are you like that man who was given a talent? Matthew chapter 25. He was given a talent, wasn't he? But instead he hid it in the ground. What was he called? You wicked and unfaithful servant. If you haven't, if you're not, you're not ready. You're not ready. Have you won a soul for Christ? Have you won a soul for Christ? You know what Jesus said about you, Christian? You know what He said? He said, you're the light of the world. A city that's set on a hill, it can't be hid. If you're not shining out for Christ, it's not because, oh, it's hid. It's hid. It's there. It's hid. It's like someone called, well, oh, you mean you're a Christian? Yeah, I'm just an undercover Christian. No such thing as an undercover Christian. A city that's set on a hill can't be hid, and men don't light candles and put them under bushels. If you're a Christian, the world's going to know it. You're going to shine out for Him. You are. You're going to shine. Listen to Him. You're the light of the world. A city set on a hill can't be hid. Men don't light candles and put them under bushels, but put them on candlesticks so it can give light to the whole house. Listen to Him now. Wherefore, since you're the light of the world, wherefore, let your light so shine that they, the world, might glorify God. They get a chance to glorify God because of you. They'll see your good works. And they'll glorify God. Have you led one soul to Jesus Christ? If not, you're not ready. You're not ready. Proverbs 11, verse 30, he that winneth souls is wise. Why is he wise? He's wise because that's what God's children do. They win others. Have you won a soul to Christ? Are you ready? Are you ready? What are you going to do? What are you going to do with the... If you were Carol, what are you going to do with the next 8 weeks of your life? What are you going to do with them? What would be the most important thing? Let me tell you, the most important thing to me is, are my children... am I going to see them in heaven? What can I do to do my best with the time I have left to ensure my grandchildren that I'm going to be with them in heaven? How about my neighbors? How about my friends? Are you ready? Are you ready? Have you made life easier for someone else? Or have you made it more difficult? You say, well, how can I make life more difficult? Gossip about them. Just gossip. Talk about them behind their back. That'll make their life easier, won't it? Have you ever been gossiped about? Did you enjoy it? What makes you think you're making their life easier when you gossip? When you talk behind their backs? When you run them down? When you belittle them? Or have you made their lives easier? I think it was James, wasn't it? Who said in James 1:27, pure and undefiled religion before God the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction. That's making their life easier, isn't it? Visit the fatherless and the widows in their afflictions and keep oneself then unspotted from the world. Are you ready? Are you ready? What kind of influence are you leaving behind? Because you're leaving one. What kind of influence are you leaving behind? Are you leaving an influence of, like Beverly and I have always told our girls, don't ever leave the church. It's the body of Christ. It's where the saved are. It's what the saved are. Are you leaving that kind of influence? Are you influencing others to love God with all their heart, with all their soul, with all their mind, with all their strength, and then love your neighbor as you love yourself? Is that the influence you're leaving behind? If not, you're not ready. You're not ready. Are you ready? Paul says, the time of my departure is at hand. I'm now ready to be offered up. I'm ready. I fought the good fight. I've finished my course. I've kept the faith. Now listen to him. Listen to him. And now the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me a crown of life. And not to me only, but to all them which love is appearing. What are you saying, Paul? Timothy, I'm ready and you can be ready too. He's writing to Timothy, isn't he? Timothy, I'm ready and you can be ready too. Are you ready? Are you ready? If not, let's get ready today, okay? Let's get ready today. Because we're going to depart. We're going to depart. Some of us just don't know how soon. That news has not been broken to us. Some of us don't get the opportunity to have that kind of news broken to us. But aren't you glad that our brother Carol can say, I have? I have. Not, I plan to someday. I have. I have. That's the reason I tell Beverly, because I'm going to preach his funeral. That's the reason I tell Beverly, I'm hurting. But I'm not sad for Carol. I'm sad for David. I'm hurting for me. I'm hurting for his family. I'm hurting for the church. I'm hurting for the community. Because we're about to lose a great warrior, aren't we? He's fought it. We're about to lose a great runner, aren't we? He's finished it. We're about to lose a great champion, aren't we? I've kept it. I've kept it. Now let that be said about every one of us. How about it, church? Let it be said about every one of us. And if you're not a Christian this morning, you become one. Do it today. You come, let us help you with that. If you're a child of God and you've got those needs in your life, let us help you with those. Let's get ready, okay? Let's get ready. Are you ready? Let's get ready. If you stand in need of the invitation that we're about to extend, that we're extending to you right now, we're going to stand and we're going to sing. And if you have needs, you come to the front. Do that now as together. We stand and sing.